Tonight's reading is from Luke chapter 12, verses 22 to 34, and can be found on page 1045 of the Church Bibles. Do not worry. Then Jesus said to his disciples, "Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat, or about your body, what you will wear. For life is more than food, and the body more than clothes. Consider the ravens. They do not sow or reap. They have no storeroom or barn, yet God feeds them. And how much more valuable you are than birds. Who of you by worrying can add a single hour to your life? Since you cannot do this very little thing, why do you worry about the rest? Consider how the wild flowers grow. They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you, not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, how much more will he clothe you, you of little faith? And do not set your heart on what you will eat or drink. Do not worry about it. For the pagan world runs after all such things, and your Father knows that you need them. But seek his kingdom, and these things will be given to you as well. Do not be afraid, little flock, for your Father has been pleased to give you the kingdom. Sell your possessions and give to the poor. Provide purses for yourselves that will not wear out, a treasure in heaven that will never fail, where no thief comes near and no moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Let's pray. Father, we thank you that all things are in your hands. Thank you that you really are a great big God, that you can see everything, that you have our best interests at heart. Thank you too for your word, and we pray that as we open it and look at it this evening, you would speak to us through it. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, good evening. Do not worry, says Jesus, and I think there are a few things that he's not saying that we might think or wish that he was saying. So I want to get those out of the way to start with. I don't think that Jesus is talking to people suffering from depression. I don't think that Jesus is saying, snap out of it, everything's going to be okay. Or, pull yourself together, don't be so stupid. Nor actually do I think that Jesus is speaking in exactly the same way as Paul does at the end of the letter to the Philippians. Paul says this, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God." Now, I don't think that Jesus would disagree with that, obviously. I'm sure that he would agree wholeheartedly. I'm sure he does. But I'm not quite sure that that's what this passage is actually about. Jesus says, don't worry about what you eat or what you wear. And it's possible that there's more to it than this. What you eat, the things that sustain you, the things that go into you physically to sustain you, but there are other ways of being sustained. Jesus is saying, don't worry about the things that sustain you. Don't worry about what you wear, the things that protect you, the outer things that you put on, that you take off again. Don't worry about those. But focus on the coming kingdom, which is more important. And there's a reason for not worrying. Worrying doesn't achieve anything, says Jesus. You're not going to add an extra day to your life. You're not going to be at all taller. You're not going to actually be able to change anything by sitting and worrying. I think this week, that's really relevant. We might have seen the news about the American elections, and we might be sitting going, oh, it's terrible, it's terrible. Actually, there's not a lot we can do about it, people. The Americans have made their choice. We might not understand it. We might not agree with it. But our role now is to stop worrying about it and start praying for them and for their president. Pray that God gives him wisdom. Pray that he acts with justice. Stop worrying. Start praying. And I think the third reason that worrying is pointless is that focusing on building stuff and gathering resources means that we look away from God and we start looking too much at our own needs, when he would rather we looked to the needs of others. Because by providing for them, we start laying down treasures in heaven that can't be damaged or stolen. This passage comes after the parable of the rich fool, the guy who kept building bigger and bigger barns, who wanted to make sure that he had supplied himself with everything he needed. But he died, and he couldn't take any of it with him. It was pointless. Jesus says, rather than building things for yourself, build things for other people. Invest in them, and your treasure will be in heaven. So that's the overview. Then come my usual questions. What are the things that we're overly concerned with today? What are the things that Jesus would tell us to stop worrying about today? So thinking about the don't worry about what you eat, and my idea that maybe that's about sustenance, what does it mean to be worried about those things, to pay too much attention? That's how I'm interpreting worry, to pay too much attention. Where do we look for our sustenance? Well, obviously, we look for food and drink. And in our culture, that seems to be becoming more and more important. The number of television programs about what we eat and what we drink. Perhaps we're getting a bit too worried about that. What about approval from other people? Is that a way that we sustain ourselves, the way that we feel that we're okay? And what do we do to try and get approval from other people? Do we worry too much about what other people might think? And another place that I think a lot of people look for sustenance in an unhealthy way is addiction. A lot of the things that we start to concentrate on, to put too much attention into, can become addictive. All sorts of things. Things that make us feel okay, that build us up, make us feel worthwhile, make us feel successful, make us feel that we matter. Where do you look for sustenance? Where are you putting a lot of attention and effort? What about the other side, the what you wear, if you take that as looking for protection? In our society, I reckon that we probably think that money is our greatest protection. If we have enough of it, we will be able to look after ourselves whatever happens. What about social standing? Not quite the same as approval from others, but our position in the groups in which we belong. We're protected if we fit in, aren't we? It feels very difficult if we don't fit in. If we're a little bit different, then sometimes you see in younger people, sometimes that desperate need to fit in for protection, not to stand out, not to be different in any way. And that can take a lot of effort. And I think sometimes for our own protection, we build our defences up. That might be in lots of different ways. It might be when we're unwilling to admit there's something that's not quite right. But we can defend ourselves. Try to think of an example that I can share. That's tricky. I suppose the kind of, looking around, thinking carefully, the kind of jolly fat girl image that sometimes you meet, that if you're, and I can speak because I've been a large girl, if you're big, then you're jolly, and that's okay, and you can become very jolly as a bigger person. And actually, sometimes that's just a defence, because it's not necessarily how you want to be. There might be lots of things about us that we appear to be perfectly happy with so that nobody can criticise us. And maybe we're not quite that happy with it. I think there's another way of building our defences, and that's NIMBYism. It's funny, because I put that into my computer early, and I mistyped it as NIMBY-ish, and it did a great red line under it as, this isn't a proper word. So I changed it to NIMBYism, and it went, that's okay. Not in my backyard. Building our defences. Some things are okay as long as they're not too close to me. Yes, people need houses. We have a terrible housing crisis. But please don't build it in that place that I particularly like, because it doesn't need to go there. Perhaps it does. Perhaps we are protecting ourselves at the expense of other people. I'm not saying that we shouldn't sustain ourselves and we shouldn't protect ourselves. Obviously, we need to eat. Obviously, we need to make sure that our families are cared for. But I am saying that Jesus said, don't worry about these things. Don't let them get out of proportion. So how can we focus on the kingdom instead? Well, Jesus said, look at the birds of the air and the flowers of the field. I found a lovely passage in the magazine produced by Lee Abbey for their supporters by a chap called Sean Lambert, who's a Baptist minister from Northwest London. And you might have heard of him. He's done a lot of research on mindfulness in all sorts of different contexts, but in the Christian context. And he said this in their magazine. Look at the birds of the air and the flowers of the field. What Jesus is saying is, don't get into a continuous state of worry, which is what causes stress and anxiety. He gives us a way out of worry when he says, look at the birds of the air, or consider the birds of the air. This is not a casual looking, but a contemplative looking. I believe that Jesus here, as a Jewish rabbi, is giving us the same practice as the psalmist of Psalm 8, who says in verse 3, when I consider your heavens, the work of your hands. I think one of the reasons it is so important to use our God-given senses in the way Jesus commends is that the body and the senses are always in the present moment. It's our minds that are constantly in mental time travel and often not in the reality around us. He goes on to say, this natural form of contemplation is for everyone. Through it, Jesus can transform our senses so that we become spiritually attuned to him. Isn't that lovely? Particularly that phrase, it's our minds that are constantly in mental time travel. I really identified with that, thinking either about things that have gone wrong in the past or things that might go wrong in the future, rather than living in the present moment. So when Jesus says, do not worry, he's not saying, sit back and ignore a problem or an issue. He's saying, keep your priorities right. Set your heart on the right things, and God will take care of the rest. What if he doesn't, though? Sometimes we can think, well, I'm not going to worry about that. I'm going to pray, and it will be fine. And sometimes we stop worrying, and we pray, and it doesn't actually seem to be fine. I don't know if I'm the only person who's found that. Possibly not. So what's going on there then? I think perhaps our idea of what we need is not the same as God's sometimes. He has that bigger perspective. And he tells us to ask for daily bread, not daily feasts. Perhaps we need to trust, even when it looks like it's all going pear-shaped. So how do we stop worrying? Well, concentrating on the here and now, not the one day maybe, is a good place to start. Looking at the birds of the air, looking at the flowers of the field. Somebody said to me that when I suffer from panic attacks, I haven't for a long time, but I did, and somebody said the best thing you can do is to feel your feet on the ground. Feel your backside in the chair. Look around you. Breathe. See that the world is okay. Concentrate on the here and now. So maybe that's the first thing to help us stop worrying if we are. Secondly, I think to count our blessings, to remember God's faithfulness to us. However small those blessings may sometimes feel in the midst of our angst and worry, God is good all the time. And perhaps in order to remember that, we need to seek the kingdom by making time for prayer and worship, digging out the promises of God and holding on to them. So not worrying is not doing anything. Not worrying is being positive in our search for God and his kingdom. Sometimes, just practically, we need to talk to somebody else to gain a wider perspective. That might be a friend or a family member, or it might be a professional. My children are very good at helping me to keep that wider perspective. Don't be so silly is a common phrase. But actually, it does help, because when we worry, we go into the spiral, don't we? And something needs to break us out of that spiral. And also to remember there is treasure in heaven. It may not all go as we want it to here and now, but one day we will be in that place where there is no more crying, no more suffering, no more pain, where we are in God's presence. And the things that we see dimly now, we will then see clearly, no longer in the mirror. We will know God as we are known now. So when Jesus says, do not worry, actually what he's saying is get your priorities right. Stop fussing about the things that don't matter. Start putting your energy into my kingdom, seeking my kingdom, building it, loving people, looking out for people. Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. I started by saying that I didn't think it was the same, quite, as what Paul was saying in Philippians. But I want to finish by coming back to Philippians. In Philippians 4, Paul's talking to people who have quite a young faith, relatively, and who have been struggling with things. He says, as he's had difficulties, so they will face the same difficulties. So they have faced some of those difficulties. And his advice to them as he closes his letter is this: rejoice in the Lord always. I'll say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you've learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. So this is coming from Paul, who's writing to them probably from prison. He's in chains at the time. This is somebody who has taken Jesus' words to heart, who isn't really terribly bothered about what he's going to eat or what he's going to wear, who says that for him to live is Christ, but to die is gain, who tells them to do everything without grumbling, not to put their confidence in the flesh. Paul is a really great example of somebody who has taken on board Jesus' teaching. And so his advice, I think, is worth listening to. Rejoice. Whenever you're anxious, bring it to God with prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, remembering the things that God has already done. Bring those things to God. And his peace, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. If you're somebody who is beset with worries, perhaps you need to have your heart and your mind guarded to be kept in Christ Jesus. The Lord is near, he says. And the Lord is near us too. So this evening, do not worry, says Jesus. I wonder what your things are that you might be worrying about this evening. Things that might be on your heart, but actually you can't do anything about. If you can do something about it, do it. If you can't, then don't worry. I'm going to invite you in a minute just to think if there are any of those things that worry you. And we're going to bring them to God. We're going to ask him to refocus our eyes. Maybe we need to confess things that we've been concentrating on that aren't helpful. I had that list of things that I think we look to for sustenance: food, drink, approval from others, or addictions. Places we look for protection in money, social standing, building our own defences. If we want to see God's kingdom grow, then we need to be willing to lay ourselves at his feet, to look to him for all that we need.